The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
On today's show, four of the five segments are devoted to butterfly gardens, all directly crossover to what we call a pollinator garden.
But before we discuss butterflies, we want to talk about ornamental grasses, how to use them in the landscape, how to take care of them, and what are some of our favorite varieties.
In our second segment, we're going to talk about all of the butterflies that you'll be seeing in your garden this summer, mostly notable the swallowtails and the monarch butterfly.
But Laya, a.k.a. butterfly bushes, have really changed. Once a gangly shrub used only to attract butterflies, now they are highly ornamental landscape plants. We'll share with you some of our favorites in our third segment.
In our fourth segment, we're going to discuss another butterfly magnet, the milkweed flower, also known as butterfly weed.
Finally, in our What's Bugging You, we're going to talk about the scourge of eggplant, tomatoes, and more, the Colorado sweet potato beetle.
Boo. So stay tuned. We'll be back in the garden right after these messages.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons in a gallon of water. The best part is Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best looking plants in the neighborhood.
Neighbors Garden Center, Main Street, Hellertown, PA. Rhodes Garden, Delcab Pike, North Wales, Pennsylvania. Rourke Farm Supply, Elmer, New Jersey. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Ornamental grasses.
Ah, yes.
They are a beautiful accent to the landscape when used correctly. Otherwise, they just look like giant weeds that you have pulled out.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's all about color, texture, form. Mm-hmm. And grasses give you a unique texture
that you can't get with other plants.
No.
Not even daylilies.
No,
they have like they have that type of flower, but the type of leaves, but different. You know, the flowers completely changed it.
The whole spectrum, yeah.
I use grasses usually in clusters of three.
Yeah.
You know, plant them so that it's a mini mass planting. Or you
it
could
is.
Do, like even here at the studios, I was noticing this morning
there's
a mass planting of low grasses mm-hmm. along the bank as you're walking into the building.
Yeah, makes a big statement.
It does. But, you know, but it was almost monotonous, though.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
You know, because the plumes mm-hmm. on it are not as spectacular as some of the other varieties that are available.
Right.
I don't know. What are some of your favorites?
Well, I'll tell you. In my home, I have the Carl Forster reed grass. That's one of my favorites.
It's a nice, and it looks like a clump of grass.
It does.
And then what is its plume like?
It's like a reed, so it's a straight... it's almost like a little reed.
Like
a little reed, and at the there's a little bit of a plume on top of that reed,
right?
And right now it's like a burgundy,
Oh, really? You've got yours starting to, and it's the end of June.
Yeah,
so June. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Yeah, I've had them for quite a while, and I love the way the wind hits it, you know, and
that's a big thing. We planted in front of Bloomers, and it was several years ago, and it was an annual. It's Pentacetum rubrum.
Oh, yeah.
And it has that dark red leaf, and
beautiful.
It gets that foxtail. Yeah. And as the cars would drive by and blow them, they would, like, dance.
Yeah, that's a beautiful.
And they would dance in uh-huh. you know, from any breezes. Right. And the only problem is they're not hardy.
Yeah, that's it.
But... you can't get a red-leaved grass as red as the Pentacetum rubrum.
Right, you can't.
So, I mean, I just love them for that reason, that they just look so good, and they contrast great like whites. And if you put in like white Angelonia around the Pentacetum rubrum, mm-hmm. I mean, looks fantastic.
It does, yeah.
It looks
that
fantastic.
Contrast is beautiful.
Even pinks, like if you do a combination of whites and and say you have a ground cover, like even like a wave petunia in pink, then do a white Angelonia, mm-hmm. and then as a background you have the red Pentacetum rubrum.
Oh boy.
It looks incredible.
It is beautiful. Yeah, isn't it?
It looks incredible.
It just adds, these grasses just add that a softness, I think, to the whole look of your garden.
You know, you always see pictures like of grasses around pools, but that's not required. I mean, certainly islands that are like, you know, some people have berms and things that mm-hmm. can be used there.
Right.
Like I ran into a situation where I have a friend who has actually... as an older house that they did a lot of remodeling on, and where there used to be a door, they made a bedroom in that room and took the door out, put windows in, and mm-hmm. finished the siding.
Right.
But they're still, which we found out trying to dig the hole for the plant, that there's a landing there. So there's a concrete pad still there.
Still there? Oh, boy.
And I said, I'm not digging that.
Nah, yeah, I wouldn't. You know,
I'm not digging that out.
You're not going.
We're going to do, the solution is taking a nice size pot,
right,
and planting a grass there.
Oh, that would be
so that,
beautiful.
And it's right on the corner of the house, mm-hmm. and it's the perfect solution.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, that's great. You know, people who live in the city and don't have a room, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
you know, put it in a pot.
Yep. Yeah, and we have those self-watering pots by Michael Carr.
Oh, yes.
They
are nice.
I've watched the same friend that uh-huh. has at least two of them, mm-hmm. and that it keeps the water around the plant and keeps it so that it wicks up into the soil, so you don't have to like worry about getting to that edge of dryness. And mm-hmm. it really works, and that's what we're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
Another that's of great. Those Michael Carr pots, mm-hmm. and that we'll put that, and it'll be underneath the window. Mm-hmm. And that I'm not sure what grass we're going to use. I just haven't decided. Maybe the dwarf pampas grass.
Oh yeah,
because it can get big, mm-hmm. Because it's a corner plant. But I don't want it too big to to where it encroaches on the window
everything
itself.
Over. Yeah,
so,
you can't see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know.
You got to play with it.
I'll let you know.
Yes.
I'll let you know.
You will.
So, and the one thing that we use is, and I hope we got them. Right. Did we get more Japanese forest grass in last week?
Yes, we did.
Good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, grasses aren't only for the sun.
That's right, yes.
That they can go in full shade.
Is that beautiful?
And again, yeah. It goes like, okay, full shade, mm-hmm. you want a variegated plant, something, mm-hmm. a hosta. You know, you put a hosta in, and they do great.
Yeah, that's not
bad. They even flower and stuff, but mm-hmm. if you're looking for a different contrast, that Japanese forest grass is only, it's small. It doesn't get real big, and it's different than liriope. Like, liriope gets, like, to be a big mound.
Right.
And it's so many people use it as a ground. Yeah, it's a ground crop. I mean, I don't even think it as a grass.
Yeah, me either.
You know, but where this Japanese forest grass absolutely looks like a grass.
It is a grass. Yeah,
and it can go in the dark where liriope does need some sun, especially to hold that variegation well. So, again, I'm going to be using that. Mm-hmm. And the whole reason, it's not that it's in a sun that doesn't get sun.
Right.
A shade cloth goes up in the summertime and blocks all the sun to this bed. Mm-hmm. So it has to be treated as if it were in shade.
Right.
So, you know, use coral bells. Mm-hmm. We're going to use the Japanese forest grass.
Mm-hmm. Another one is Carex.
Carex, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'll take shade too.
Yep. And also,
I like that one.
Looks a little fuller.
Yeah.
Than Japanese forest grass, and looks a little different than it's more grass-like.
Grassy looking, yeah.
Yeah, so again, there are so many choices, sun and shade.
Oh, yeah. Don't think that, you know, you're only going to get one or two different varieties. Oh, no.
Yeah, you can do, and again, one of my favorites is a blue fescue.
Oh.
Now, not the grass seed. It's a blue fescue grass that does get these little, like, looks like almost oats on the top of them.
Yeah, they're
cool. That's their fruit.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And does a great job because it's that blue accent.
Yeah,
so
real blue there.
Yeah, and so you put you could Physiocarpus, one of the new dark varieties. Or you do even something as low as a red barberry.
Yeah.
And that you'll use that blue as a contrast.
Oh, wow.
And that it really brings out the colors.
It does.
And white, and by the way, white always brings out the colors. Mm-hmm. White, yes, is a color, but it's not a color. Mm-hmm. What it does is it accentuates the colors that are out there. And always think about whenever you're using anything dark or you're using anything that's like that burgundy, dark burgundy, that you want to use something white, maybe to help bring out
that purple.
That purple, yeah.
Really. Because if not, you get lost.
Yep.
Yep. I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yep.
It's beautiful stuff.
The Pennisetums that are hardy, like Little Bunny. I love Little Bunny. I think it's only because of the name. But I do like it. It is it's a dwarf little grass. It's a mounding grass. Carl Forrester, is that right? I think
that's right. That's my favorite.
That is your favorite.
Yeah.
There you go. And again, that's going to be a real good one.
Yeah, the maiden grass. Oh, I like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beauty.
Yep. Yeah. And Carly Rose, Pennisetum Carly Roses, is like a pink.
Oh, yeah. That's right now, you know, the little fluffy pinks on the top right now. Oh, they're gorgeous in the air. Oh, my goodness.
And pink muley?
Oh, pink muley
pink
grass.
Pink muley is another one.
I like that one.
That's a Muhlenberg grass.
Yeah, I've had that in my home. It's beautiful.
Yeah, do you know there's a Muhlenberg College?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I always wonder if that's
part of it?
Yeah. Look there for my kids at one time. That's like when I saw the Muhlenbergia, I'm like, I wonder. You know, is it discovered by somebody there? But I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right. We're up against a break. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. 880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609
685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Coast of Maine's Organic Castine Blend Organic Raised Bed Mix is the best soil for raised bed gardens, planter boxes, and container gardens. It grows amazing vegetables. It is made with a mixture of manure compost, worm castings, lobster and kelp meal, mycorrhiza, green sand, and biochar. It's ready to use straight out of the bag with no need for additional components or tilling. If you love growing fresh and hearty vegetables, herbs, and flowers, Coast of Maine's Castine Blend Organic Raised Bed Mix is the perfect choice for you. At Coast of Maine, we believe in growing organically and buying locally. Castine Organic Raised Bed Mix can be found at these fine stores:
Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania; Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania; Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Lititz, Pennsylvania.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, and you know, butterflies like the swallowtail are attracted to parsley, not to collect nectar, but to lay eggs. Now, in our neck of the woods, the swallowtails and monarchs are not the most conspicuous, though.
That's right. Swallowtails. I mean, I love the swallowtails. Now, there's two types. There's the black swallowtail, and that you'll know that. Obviously, it's black, but it also has white. Two rows of white dots along the edges of the wings, and its tail, if you look real close, it's got blue, but then it has like these two round circles that look like eyes.
Yeah.
And what it does is it freaks out their predators. So like when a bird comes down to swoop, it's like, what the heck is that?
You know,
let's lay off that for a while.
That's right.
So it And it's just, they're beautiful because they're big.
Yeah, they're big.
You know, they're probably about 2 to 3 inches across easy, and depending on what time of the year.
Right.
And their guest cousin is the tiger swallowtail. Now, those are yellow, have blue underneath their wings and on the tail, and looks very similar just if you take out the black and you put in the blue. And it's edged in black, so it's really gorgeous. A bright yellow, very pretty, very delicate, very floral-like.
Yeah, very nice.
Wouldn't you say, well?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty.
When they're full grown, amazing. They can reach about 5 inches in wingspan.
They're humongous.
Yeah,
I love to see them.
Me too. And that where it's parsley, surely at Bloomers sets up a little. I guess it's like sanctuary for butterflies.
Yeah, Shirley sanctuary.
Yeah, I'm not real keen on that. She's taking all of our plants and feeding them.
Right.
But we have coming in. I by the way, Julio, I checked this morning.
Right.
and that the butterfly candy will be ready within the next week to 10 days.
Great, great.
Butterfly candy is a series of plants by Centerton Nursery, our friends over at Centerton. And it's all of the types of plants that butterflies feed on and that the caterpillars feed on. Okay. So what'll happen is that the butterflies, like the swallowtail, like the monarchs, that they will lay their eggs based on the type of plant. And I love their tags because the tags will show if I get, like, for instance, they'll have milkweed. If we use milkweed, it's going to attract the monarch butterfly. Mm-hmm. If we use parsley, it's going to attract the swallowtails. Right. And each one, it tells you what to expect to attract.
That's right.
And I love that concept. Yeah. I told Amy last year that it was the most exciting thing that I saw at the Cultivate when we were at Cultivate in Ohio with our team.
Right.
I'll tell you what. But the most, I guess, mind-blowing are the monarch butterflies. Now, those are brown, brown and with the black edge. Now, there can be monarchs also that there's a copycat that's out there, and that you see is it sometimes is a viceroy.
Viceroy.
They look very much like monarch.
They do.
But I'll tell you what, the monarch butterfly, see if you can follow our story. Mm-hmm. Monarch butterflies start, let's just say they start in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're in a forested mountain where they collect, and I'm talking all of the monarch butterflies. So the one that you see in your yard, eventually part of their family will end up back in Mexico.
Amazing.
Totally amazing.
Yep.
PBS had a great, on nature, they had a great show, great program about how that this works. If you're real interested, just do a Google search. There's several different, documentaries that talk about it. But this is a discovery. They only found this forest in 1975.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not that it's been, it's where the Aztecs knew about it, or they might have. But it was, no, we didn't. And that, like, modern society didn't.
Wow.
It was probably how long would you say that search was? He started probably when he was in his 20s.
20s, yes.
And then he was an elderly gentleman by the time that he actually saw it for himself. And they actually labeled the butterflies and had citizen scientists, that they called them, that would help label. And it reminded me of the feeder watch that happens each February.
Watch,
that where it's just something where people can get involved, like the common man can get involved.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So what happens is that these butterflies leave Mexico, and they head north, and they have, let's see, it's the three generations, and that third generation actually is programmed to go back to Mexico, even though it has never seen Mexico, it doesn't know what Mexico is, has never been in these trees, but the great-great-grandmother has. And so what happens is that they start all over again, that they go through different cycles, but it has to go through these different generations. So a monarch butterfly that was hatched on your milkweed in New Jersey, in New York, in Pennsylvania, in Delaware, in Connecticut is destined to have one of its offspring back in Mexico.
Wow. Amazing.
Now, how many eggs do they lay, Julio? We were talking about this.
Yeah, 300 eggs per.
Yeah, so that's 300 eggs per generation.
Wow.
And that's because, again, they've got lots of issues that they've got to deal with.
Yeah, predators.
Yeah, predators, but also deforestation.
Yes.
They have issues where the milkweed that they survive on, and that's the key. Mm-hmm. The milkweed they eat, and it makes them poisonous to most predators, so they avoid them.
Right.
And while they're feeding, But the availability of milkweed on they were talking about how farms have gotten bigger and where the areas along the edge of the farm are just trimmed and kept low where it used to be allowed to grow, that milkweed is now suppressed. Right. So they've got to find it. And they also, if they're flying in areas where in these big farms where, again, the pesticides are going to control them. So when you're using pesticides, make sure that you're being very careful with what you're using, especially in your – I'd let your pollinator garden go as ugly as you can.
Yeah.
It's supposed to not look – it's not supposed to look pretty. It's food.
Yeah.
It's food. It's supposed to be harvested by each of your caterpillars and that they're supposed to eat it. Because what you're doing is you're having that next life. It's not only for bees.
Right.
So remember that it's okay if you have some insect life that's eating your plants.
Yeah, really. So you're going to have more of like a little natural area.
Right, right. But it will attract these butterflies, and you'll be able to see, things that, and just observe and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily looking at the garden, but you're looking at what the garden brings
in. Yeah,
look for the honeybees. Whenever I see a honeybee, it kind of makes me happy, and it's not because I like Cheerios. it's that I know that the species is surviving and able to pollinate our farms naturally.
Yep, for our food. Yep.
Monarch goes and has these generations. Then the final generation that it hatches and the hormones that are within it trigger it to become a mammoth or you could call it a mammoth monarch.
Mammoth monarch, yeah.
Where it's set up to make that trek from
super huge.
Wherever it is in, say, Canada, and it's light, it's the sunlight that triggers it to go.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
To go all the way back through Texas, through the Rio Grande, and then find this mountain range in Mexico.
Yeah, way up.
Hibernates, slows, and it doesn't eat the entire time. Instead of like the other, its other ancestors that where it's, just there to breed and keep the trek moving on, this one is meant to just fatten up and fly, fly south.
Really?
They do, and they fly south back to Mexico.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then they start a new generation.
Another one.
And after that, that mammoth monarch, it breeds, and a hormone kicks in. And by the way, it lives 8 times longer than the regular monarch.
Wow.
Which would be like, me and Julio living to 400.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what's cool? They can go up a mile high. I'm trying to think. This little butterfly a mile high up in the air.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
I mean, it uses the currents.
Yeah, the current. I mean, it's wow.
It is an amazing story.
Yeah, you get blown away. Just
and Julio and I on the show have never hid our faith in that. I mean, this is one of those things that, it just makes you go wow.
Yes, it does.
Just makes you go wow. And this discovery again is only it's 50 years ago.
That's right. That's
that's new to me.
Yeah, it's new.
And every year I get older,
it is.
Still is new.
Yeah, it is new for you.
Do you got your ARP card yet, Julio?
Soon.
Anyway.
All right. Yeah.
Listen, you have any questions on grasses or on butterfly gardens or pollinator gardens, please call the hotline. Yep. We love it when you call.
Yeah, call us up.
And then what'll happen is we'll put your call on the show, and then you get a free T-shirt.
That's right.
But what we really enjoy is interacting with our listeners.
Oh, yeah, we love you guys.
All right, going to break. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers T-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Fertilum Rosen Flower Food with Systemic Insecticide 14-12-11 contains 5 micronutrients which are designed for roses and provide proper nutrients in producing stunning green leaves, essential new growth, while protecting the plant from damaging insects for up to 8 weeks. Fertilum Rosen Flower contains 14% nitrogen for green growth, building bigger canes, stems, and leaves. 12% phosphorus for root growth and increased flower production, 11% potash to promote vigorous growth so plants are better able to resist disease and cold. The micronutrients are the icing on the cake to enhance further growth, strengthen, and beautiful color to your plant. Tired of seeing your roses prematurely drop their leaves and the flowers disappear? Fertilum Rosen Flower Food contains an easy-to-apply insecticide that keeps your roses looking great all year long. Those hungry Japanese beetles don't have a chance. Apply it in spring before buds sprout and continue through the season as indicated on the labeling guide. Fertilum Rosen Flower Food 14-12-11 with micronutrients and systemic insecticide is a must for the passionate flower grower to help produce that beautiful abundance of color and fantastic fragrance everyone will love. It's available at these great stores: Smeltzer & Son Feed Supply, Route 9, Cape May, New Jersey, Mastardi Nursery, Chester Pike, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, Bloomer's Home and Garden Center, Herfel Cross Keys Road, Washington Township, New Jersey.
Captain's Log, Day 97, searching for the seeds of a natural pesticide.
Hey there, it's Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. I was deep in the search for a natural pesticide when I took a break in the shade of a neem tree, and it hit me. A neem seed. Neem seeds contain an oil so effective at killing insects, it's the active ingredient in my Neem Max concentrate. Captain Jack's Neem Max is made with cold-pressed neem oil, which is even more effective at killing insects and controlling fungus than the other neem oils on the market. Best of all, it's approved for organic gardening. I've traveled the world to find the best solutions for natural gardening. And let me tell you, the best pesticide really does grow on trees. Captain Jack's Neem Max.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Neem Max from Bonide, trusted since 1926. Visit your local hardware store or garden center today, or learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider, or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, you got a question? Call us.
Yes, we're here.
You know, over the last couple of years, when anyone asks, so what's your favorite plant? What was it, Julio?
Pugster is your favorite.
It was Pugster Blue Buddleia. It was a new introduction, and again, it was a hybrid.
Yeah.
You know, I swear, the native plants are the same people that say that plants are invasive. You know, don't you think? It's the same group.
It's the same group.
Julio and I believe in native plants, but we also believe in native ours.
Yes.
Like Pugster would be a native R, okay? It's a native plant that has, and that's important to know. And the only reason I bring that up is because they, Buddleia and some of the older varieties of butterfly bush have made the invasive species list. Yeah, don't plant them.
Oh, my goodness.
They only grow really good and flower.
Yeah, that's it.
So you native people, like, where do you stand?
Yeah.
Anyway, the cultivars, okay, the nativars that we call them, only 2% of their seed is viable.
Oh, how about that?
So when you go out to buy a Buddleia, buy one of the new hybrids, and then you'll be both worlds. The pollinator garden will be set. The people who are worried that they're invasive will be set. So you covered all your bases.
That's right.
So make sure you're looking for for hybrids or cultivars.
That's right. See, we make you happy.
Yeah, we do. We do. And it's all Buddleia Davidi. I mean, that's the that's the one that isn't everybody. Oh, that's invasive.
Ooh, yeah.
You guys don't even need to know that. Because most garden centers don't even sell it.
Yeah,
they're not going to sell it. I mean, I guess Black Knight is probably the closest, and there's Alba, which is a white.
Yeah, I like those two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it used to be, but now they flower more. The new cultivars flower more.
Mm-hmm.
I have Molly.
You got Molly?
Molly is a type of butterfly bush that its flowers are like a magenta.
Ooh.
Very, very pretty. Yeah. And it gives you a different color palette than just purple or blue or white.
Mm-hmm.
Bugsters, because of their compact nature,
mm-hmm.
I love the Pugsters.
Like yeah.
But Molly, a little bit taller, and it has just a real good color.
You're talking about 4 foot?
Yeah.
About 4 foot tall.
Yeah, about 4 foot tall. And that, again, but Lee are such a plant that it's like, if it gets a little tall, just cut it in half.
Cut it back, yeah.
you don't have to worry about where or,
Yeah, right.
So. Deadheading will help them flower more.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're willing. Mm-hmm. You know, if not, just cut them back. They'll rebloom. Yeah. They'll reflush and probably set up another bloom cycle.
Bloom somewhere, yeah.
But if you're going to start with one plant to attract butterflies and the most spectrum of butterflies, that would be it.
That would be that one.
Because, again, butterfly weed are where eggs of the monarch butterfly are going to be laid. And we're going to go into that in the next segment. But they're feeding. They are looking for nectar to feed on, not necessarily where the butterfly weed is the best choice, but they're feeding off of every plant. So that's why you're going to see monarch butterflies on a lot of different plant species.
Yeah.
And again, nothing's better than butterfly bush.
Yeah,
and
so.
I'm laughing because have you ever like had a customer and you walk through, you go to pick out a butterfly bush and they're filled with butterflies and kind of just like all of a sudden they explode.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like one thing to really.
It is fun.
And that's what it's like when they're at your home.
Oh yeah, and the children love it. I mean, you know, talk about children. They love butterflies. I notice when they come in. Oh, look at the butterfly bush.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They kind of know.
Yeah, damn cabbage looper gets classed as a butterfly. But
it does. We're not going yet.
No, right. That is the one I would step on.
Right.
It's white. Yeah. Have you seen our cabbage for sale?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no leaves left.
No leaves on.
Yeah, there's.
Yeah, they're gone.
Anyway.
Yeah,
all right. Julia, got anything to add? Your favorite butterfly bush?
I like the Knight. I mean,
Black Knight?
That's I had it when I was young.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it is an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I tell you, it gets big.
It gets big,
It can be about 8 foot.
Oh, yeah.
Full grown, so.
Yeah, I like big.
Got the back against your backyard.
Sure. That's where it was.
That's what I would do. Yeah. That's what I do. All right, we'll be right back right after this break.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, milkweed, folks, a.k.a. butterfly weed, is a butterfly magnet. And I'm telling you, Len, it is a hot plant right now.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you brought that in early, I mean, without any flowers in them.
Yep.
And they were, like, gone.
Yeah. I mean, there's the low, the one that everybody wants is that orange one because it's probably the most ornamental. Mm-hmm. And that it's nice, but it only gets to be about a foot or two high. It's more almost like a ground cover in a way.
Yeah.
But there are other varieties, like there are annual varieties of milkweed where they'll drop their seed and come back. The swamp milkweed is probably the to me, that would be the one that I would want just simply because it seems to be the more natural one that you find or the common milkweed that you would find, you know, in a, you know, embankment somewhere like, you know, along the highway or someplace that, you know, along a farmer's field where it grows wild.
Yeah, it's not a beautiful looking.
It's all right. I mean, the flower's okay. Uh-huh. Because it does get a flower, but that's not why you put it in there.
That's
you're putting it in there for monarchs to lay their eggs and then have that next generation so that you can move as close back to Mexico for those monarchs as possible and sustain that next generation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, the areas for natural, we talk about this all the time, off air mostly. Mm-hmm. That how the areas for butterflies and the habitat for a lot of insects and beneficial or and insects that we just appreciate as far as their beauty goes has been diminished. We were talking about how like there's that in a bad way that some of the like we talk about rose. I'm getting to is rose rosette disease,
right?
Where it used to be a mite that was on the wild roses. I see it more and more that it's carried on those roses that you don't spray because they're so good, and all of a sudden that mite is on knockout roses. I think that's an issue. But where again, just in a bad way, you have this being sustained by the rose that you don't spray, which probably we should start telling people to spray their knockout roses, where this milkweed creates an island for the monarchs to feed and to lay eggs and to do the things that they need to do in order to survive for the next generation. Now, again, milkweed is what makes them safe from predators because it's ingesting that makes them poisonous or at least taste really bad. Mm-hmm. And most predators will avoid them when you put in the milkweed and that they feed on that milkweed. So anybody who has a pollinator garden or a butterfly garden, it's almost essential to put in butterfly weed.
It's
milkweed. In the wild, it looks a little bit different because it has a larger leaf and is definitely not very ornamental. The varieties you pick up at your local garden center, they are going to be a little bit more ornamental. So I guess we call them a nativar. That's what we call a nativar. Some will be marked as annuals, some as perennials, but they can be a tender perennial where they'll mostly come back from dropping their seed. Again, it's essential for monarch butterflies to continue their next generation. And again, you don't want to worry about if anything's eating them. You know, that's the whole idea, yeah. is that once those yeah. eggs hatch, and they're going to look like these little, you know, emerald tiny. Spheres on the undersides of the leaf.
Yeah. Real tiny.
And that's where that monarch butterfly egg will be. Yeah. And once it hatches, it will go and it will start like being this caterpillar that's going to be a fat, stubby caterpillar that has stripes along its whole entire body, not down its body, but around its body. Bright, pretty color.
Pretty.
You can't miss it.
Yeah.
But they're are going to eat like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to keep eating until they go into that chrysalid format, but yeah. into that form. But again, milkweed, the essential, again, food for the caterpillars. Yeah. And again, we talked about caterpillar candy. That yep. the new plant series from Centerton, which will be ready in
coming
about a
soon,
week
yes.
to 10 days.
Hey, keep an eye on that.
That is part of their collection.
Yes,
now,
it is.
We have milkweed in four or five different forms as far as varieties go.
That's right.
So right now. So don't go to your local garden center. Take a look. Come right. to Bloomers. You're mm-hmm. invited.
Oh, you'll find it. Yeah.
We've got plenty in different size plants, too. Mm-hmm. Not like little 4-inch pots either. There could be six, and we have some in 9-inch mm-hmm. pots. So.
Right.
Come on down, plant milkweed
yeah, plant
in
it.
Your butterfly garden.
Yes.
Again, it's trying to get that generation to have that super monarch that will fly
back.
To through
That's
Texas
crucial.
Into Mexico and then come back again.
Right.
So do your part.
Yep, yep.
Do your part.
Yep. Do a little habitat in the backyard or the front even, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And get your Yay. Kids and have them just I mean, they can't help but be mesmerized
oh my gosh.
Of what the whole journey mm-hmm. of this beautiful
That's right.
butterfly goes through to get full cycle and mm-hmm. to get its new generation started.
That's right. Yeah, look at that YouTube. Yeah,
you can find it if you PBS.
PBS.
That was the first spot I said, but then there's also there's other places that you'll see the same information. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the journey to where it enters. You know, our country gets all the way in, like leapfrogs and generations up into Canada.
That's amazing.
And then that last generation is larger, bigger, and it's made so that it does not mate. And then it takes flight
yeah.
and ends up back into this mm-hmm. forested area of Mexico.
How many is in that forest?
Billions.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it might have been half a billion, they said.
Really?
I mean,
can you imagine?
It looks.
I would
like,
love to go in there.
I would love that too.
Yeah,
we
ought to take a trip there.
Yeah, we'll see. The closest we got to Mexico was Mexico, Missouri.
Oh, really?
Anyway, all right, we'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. From tomatoes and vegetables, roses and flowers, as well as acid-loving plants, Coast of Maine Brands has an all-natural soil for all of your outdoor planting needs. Coast of Maine's tomato vegetable planting soil is uniquely crafted for plentiful and more flavorful vegetables. It contains compost, lobster meal, peat moss, and lime, combining the perfect blend of ingredients to grow plentiful tomatoes and vegetables. Coast of Maine's rose and flower planting soil is a blend for all rose varieties, flowering shrubs, annuals, and perennials. It is naturally lightweight and contains just the right amount of nutritional balance
to get your beautiful flowers off to a great start. Coast of Maine planting soil for acid-loving plants. It's made with premium ingredients and contains compost, peat moss, and aged bark. Coast of Maine soils can be found at
Forsellati Brothers, Rivervale, New Jersey. Calgo Gardens, Freehold, New Jersey. Tony's Farm and Garden, Windsor, New Jersey.
Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants, and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvests. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma. A natural in the garden since 1929. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len. He's Julio. Call us if you got a question about your garden, landscape, or lawn. Hey, so this week, what's bugging you?
What's bugging you?
They are bugging me.
Yeah, right.
I actually found them. You know how you have your screened-in window and you lift your screen? They were actually must have hit the window and fell down below. and it's Colorado sweet potato beetle.
Oh, my goodness.
Colorado potato beetles are the worst. I hate them more than any bug because they can devour an eggplant. Brother. Like that cabbage looper. They're just the same way, but on eggplant tomatoes. Well, they'll take a tomato plant and eat everything.
All of a sudden
the only thing left are the veins of the leaves.
So if
you see bright orange eggs on the undersides of your plants, your vegetable plants,
right,
mostly eggplant, tomatoes, but that's going to include sweet potato vine and other plants, that is the start of the potato beetle.
That's it.
Oh, I hate them.
Yeah.
What happens after they hatch, they look like these tiny specks, and they look like gummy sweet potato because they're all soft and pudgy and fat.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're this orangey, anyway, and they have these little black dots along their sides, and they just eat the crap out of all of your plants. I mean, they just disappear. What happened to the plants?
What happened to plants?
Those black specks I thought were nothing turned out to be Colorado potato beetle.
There you go.
Spray them.
Get rid of them.
Spray them for me. Mm-hmm. Because back on the farm, we used to take them off by hand and put them in a coffee can of kerosene.
Oh, you did?
Here's another one.
Oh, how many hours are you putting out? like all day?
It was the worst. That's why I don't like tomatoes.
Right.
I swear, because by the time you were done, my fingers smelled like tomatoes. It was like my hands were green.
Really?
And then they get to the adult stage and they can fly when they're adults.
Oh, goodness.
So that they have these, it's a tan shell, right, with black stripes.
Yeah.
And
pretty. Sorry to tell you that.
Here's what to do. Spray them with spinosad. That's in Captain Jack's. Just make sure now Bonide has made Captain Jack's a whole brand family. You're looking for spinosad.
Yeah, that's it.
You can, again, Bonide has it, but also Fertilome has it, and it's named spinosad.
Spinosad, yeah.
It's organic. It works real well, and that it'll get rid of them. You can spray it up to the day of harvest. But look, you've got to spray more than once because those eggs, as they're hatching, you're going to have to do at least two to three sprays about 7 to 10 days apart to make sure that you get rid of them all. Because again, you're going with a you're going with an organic, so it doesn't have a long residual. Eight.
Yeah.
You know what they used to say about eight, right?
Yeah.
One better than seven.
Seven.
Eight dust. It is not organic, but very effective. Eight dust. You can see it where you dust your plants with it. You know how you dust your plants? I had to do this on the farm too. You stockings again, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think there's a lot of cross dressers on the farm.
Oh gosh.
But so you take a stocking, right? And you pour the dust in the stocking, and you just go bloop. You just.
Just squeeze?
No, no, you don't squeeze it. You just bounce it.
Bounce it on a plant.
You bounce it. Like, again, you're stocking. You put in the you just go, droop. Right. And it looks like, you know, how you would use powdered sugar on a donut.
Yeah.
You know, it just covers it that way.
Right.
And that way you're not, like, wasting it or not know how to or making a cloud of dust that you're nailing and find out 10 years later you have cancer.
I tell you, folks.
I keep wondering.
Yeah, it's the wrong eye.
Yeah. Here's your mask. It's a bandana. It's like, anyway, I'm telling my family.
Oh, my goodness.
If I have cancer, that's what it's from.
That's what it's from, yep. you got it.
But in any case, what you want to use is go organic. It does control them, works very well, and it's very safe.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, if you've got any questions about insects on your plants, Julio and I are the ones to call.
That's right.
We'll help you figure out what it is, first of all. You don't need to know what it is. We'll help you understand what it is. It could be a black bug with little black spots, and that would be, or little white spots, and that would be?
Spotted lanternfly.
Right. And we'll give you the recommendations to control it the safest way.
That's right.
All right. We've got a break again. We'll be right back right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Captain's Log, Day 97, searching for the seeds of a natural pesticide.
Hey there, it's Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. I was deep in the search for a natural pesticide when I took a break in the shade of a neem tree. And it hit me. A neem seed. Neem seeds contain an oil so effective at killing insects, it's the active ingredient in my Neem Max concentrate. Captain Jack's Neem Max is made with cold-pressed neem oil, which is even more effective at killing insects and controlling fungus than the other neem oils on the market. Best of all, it's approved for organic gardening. I've traveled the world to find the best solutions for natural gardening. And let me tell you, the best pesticide really does grow on trees. Captain Jack's Neem Max.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Neem Max from Bonide. Trusted since 1926. Visit your local hardware store or garden center today. Or learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Lots of educational stuff today.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. We're here for any of your calls.
Right.
Just call us. You leave a message. We call you back with the answers and solutions.
Yes. Next time you visit your favorite garden center, tell them you listen to Bloomers in the Garden.
Thank you, producer extraordinaire, Brett.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Another great show. We'll see you next week right here, the same time, right here in the garden.
See you in the garden. Mm-hmm.